you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that raises the curtain on everyday history and lets it take a bow. I'm Gabe Lousier, and today we're looking back at Phyllis Diller's big break into stand-up comedy and how it paved the way for generations of women to follow her lead. The day was March 7th, 1955. American comedian Phyllis Diller made her professional debut at the Purple Onion nightclub in San Francisco. As a 37-year-old mother of five, she was a latecomer to the comedy scene and an outlier among the mostly male comics who dominated the field. But Diller quickly earned her place on the stage thanks to an endless supply of witty one-liners, perfect comic timing, and of course, her iconic cackling laugh. Phyllis Diller was born Phyllis Ada Driver in Lima, Ohio, on July 17, 1917. She was an only child and took an interest in music and singing at an early age. She also discovered she had a knack for making people laugh, a talent she would come to rely on during her awkward teenage years. As she later explained, quote, "When I realized I looked like olive oil and wanted to look like Jean Harlow, I knew something had to be done. From 12 on, the only way to handle the terror of social situations was comedy. Break the ice. Make everybody laugh. I did it to make people feel more relaxed, including myself." After graduating from high school, Diller studied music and voice at a conservatory in Chicago. She eventually transferred to Bluffton College in Bluffton, Ohio, where she met her future husband, Sherwood Diller. The couple eloped in 1939, and Diller dropped out of college not long after. The couple settled in Bluffton and started a family, but during World War II, they moved to Michigan, where Sherwood worked at a B-24 bomber plant. Then, in 1945, he was transferred to Alameda, California, just across the bay from San Francisco. Over the next decade, the couple struggled to make ends meet, with Sherwood working any job he could find, while Diller stayed home to raise their five children. Things got so tough that Diller eventually had to take an outside job as well. First, she worked as the women's editor at a small local newspaper. Then, she worked as an advertising copywriter for a department store and later for an Oakland radio station. From there, she became the director of promotion and marketing at a top radio station in San Francisco. Meanwhile, Diller continued making people laugh in her spare time, telling jokes at parties about the ups and downs of motherhood, marriage, and housework. In 1952, she started displaying her talent more widely by appearing in local TV segments called Phyllis Dillis, the Homely Friendmaker. Dressed in a housecoat, she would dispense tongue-in-cheek advice to homemakers, an early prelude to the costumed alter ego she would adopt for her stand-up routines. Around that time, Sherwood Diller began encouraging his wife to pursue a career as a professional comic. It took 2 years of prodding for her to finally take the leap, and when she did, her first unpaid gig wasn't what you'd call a success. After calling the Red Cross and offering her services as an entertainer, she was sent to a veterans hospital at the Presidio in San Francisco. "I pushed a piano into a room that had four guys in it," she later recounted. "I played, sang, and told jokes, while they yelled, 'Leave us alone! We're already in pain!'" Spurred on by her husband, Diller pushed forward and spent the next year refining her act. She worked with a drama coach to develop skits and perfect her delivery. And every night, she would practice in front of a full-length mirror with a tape recorder in hand. Finally, in the spring of 1955, Phyllis Diller felt ready to make her big debut. She quit her job at the radio station and requested an audition at the Purple Onion, a legendary basement comedy club in San Francisco. Her timing couldn't have been better, as the club's resident comedian was away in New York filming a TV show, and they needed someone to fill his spot right away. Diller was hired as his substitute, and on the evening of March 7, 1955, she took to the stage for the very first time. For her early performances, Diller relied heavily on her musical background. She played piano, clowned around with a zither, and sang parody songs, including a spoof of Eartha Kitt's song, Monotonous, which Diller renamed Ridiculous. She told jokes as well, but the humor was topical, pulled from newspaper items rather than from her own lived experience. The audience at the Purple Onion applauded politely, but Diller could tell that her act wasn't strong enough. Luckily, she had 2 weeks until the club's regular comedian returned, so each night, she took the stage again, testing new material to see what garnered the biggest laughs. She progressed so quickly that by the time the Onion's regular comic came back, the club manager had already invited her back for more shows. She proved a fast favorite with audiences and soon moved up to top billing. All told, Phyllis Diller played the Purple Onion for 87 consecutive weeks. Her act and her appearance changed dramatically during that record-long run. The comedian later reflected on that formative period, saying that when she first started, she, quote, "looked like the woman next door. I mean, I was just anybody. And on stage, that just doesn't work. My opening night, I wore a cotton dress. I had brown hair. Please. So little by little, I learned. Comics must find a persona. One immediately understood by the audience. The quicker, the better." With that in mind, Diller started wearing outrageous costume elements that challenged society's conceptions of female beauty. This included wrist-length gloves, cloth-covered ankle boots, and a bleached blonde fright wig with hair sticking up in all directions. Her other fashion mainstay was a bejeweled cigarette holder with a wooden cigarette, because the real Phyllis Diller never smoked. The final touch on Diller's zany, raucous persona was her signature laugh. She employed it to underscore her punchlines and to elicit a bigger response from the audience, a technique she called priming the pump. Take a listen.
Traveled downtown yesterday and got into a terrible mess. A cop asked me to pull over to the curb. How did I know which one he meant? There are two. I was lucky, though. There were only 12 cars involved.
Phyllis Diller wasn't the first woman comedian, but she was the first to stand shoulder to shoulder with her male counterparts at popular venues. Known for her carefully structured jokes and rapid-fire delivery, Diller prided herself on her ability to rattle off as many as a dozen punchlines per minute. And that finely honed skill was a major reason for her acceptance into the boys' club comedy scene. The real secret to her appeal, though, was her willingness to satirize her own domestic experiences as a wife and mother facing middle age. Her routine often included self-deprecating humor about her ineptitude as a mother, her fictitious husband, Fang, and her own physical appearance, which she purposely exaggerated for theatrical effect. It was a perspective that hadn't been seen before on a nightclub stage, but one that felt perfectly in step with the burgeoning feminist movement of the 1950s and 60s. As a result, her act struck a chord with many modern American women, a segment of the audience that wasn't usually catered to by male comics. Diller later remarked on the instant rapport she had with female fans, saying, quote, "When I open my mouth, they know I'm one of them, and from that second, we both can feel that two-way radar going between us. We girls are compatriots with 10,000 things in common. I'm just the one on stage talking for us." By breaking into the male-dominated field of stand-up comedy and thriving, Diller blazed a trail for future women comics to follow. In the decades to come, she would be cited as an influence by comedians as diverse as Roseanne Barr, Lily Tomlin, Whoopi Goldberg, and Margaret Cho. As for her own career, after her landmark run at the Purple Onion, Diller took her act on the road, performing in clubs across the country. She also climbed the showbiz ladder, landing her first TV appearance as a contestant on Groucho Marx's popular quiz show, You Bet Your Life, in 1958. That same year, she also made the first of many appearances on The Tonight Show with Jack Parr, a performance that quickly made her a favored guest on numerous other talk shows and variety series. In the early 1960s, Phyllis Diller released her first comedy album, Wet Toe in a Hot Socket. And throughout the decade, she would find even more platforms for her humor, including TV specials, feature films, and a widely hailed series of USO tours with her mentor, Bob Hope. Diller's eccentric onstage persona became so popular that she even made the leap to animation. In 1967, she lent her voice and her likeness to Rankin Bass's stop-motion film Mad Monster Party, where she played the role of the bride of Frankenstein's monster. And in 1972, she voiced herself in an episode of the new Scooby-Doo movies. Here's a clip.
"I can't wait to talk to the ghost of good old Wilbur. There was a man. Lucas, he was the one who gave me all my diamonds. I used to call him Rocky."
For the next several decades, Diller continued to perform stand-up for sold-out crowds at nightclubs and concert halls. And while most of her early routines focused on making fun of herself, she later took aim at other targets, including societal issues like the housing crisis and racism. One joke she penned in 1968 even took on both of those problems simultaneously. "It's really wild," she wrote. "All over the country, people can't sell their homes because of tight mortgage money. And in Chicago, they won't sell their homes because of color. Now you know where the word bigot comes from. It's a contraction of two words, big idiot." Younger generations may not be familiar with Diller's work from her heyday in the 1960s and 70s, but they may have heard her distinctive voice and signature cackle in some early 2000s animation. She voiced Granny Neutron in The Adventures of Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius, from 2002 to 2004, and she voiced Peter Griffin's mother in early episodes of Family Guy. Diller retired from live performances in 2002, but she continued to do voiceover work and act occasionally until her death in 2012 at the age of 95. Gone but not forgotten, Diller's barrier-breaking legacy ensured that her influence and her laugh will echo through the ages. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. Consider keeping up with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, where you can find us at TDIHCShow. You can also rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, or you can get in touch directly by writing to thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Chandler Mays for producing the show, and thank you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
Yeah.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.